What is up, kangaroo chasers? And well, first off, thank you. Thank you for helping make last week's podcast with Luc Lacoste, the president of the French Rugby League Federation. You made it our most popular episode ever in a 1 week period. It was phenomenal. The numbers were great. There's plenty of new kangaroo chasers out there, that's for sure. And I don't think it'll be long before it's our most listened to episode ever. We could have some good some very popular episodes coming up as well. There's been plenty of news in the rugby league world, in particular North American Rugby League. There's going to be plenty of content on the pod very soon, lining a few things up, and you're going to have a chance to ask questions of the people that are in charge and behind it. So looking forward to that. This week, we have an interview with Steve Johns, and Steve is from the Welsh Wheelchair Rugby League. Really cool episode. Big T had a great chat with him. I can't wait to listen to it along with you. But first, of course, it has been a huge week. Plenty of news from all the way around the world with that big North American announcement. And Big T and I, we're going to try and unpack it as much as we can, along with other things in our golden points. So let's do it. I'm Michael Carboni. This is episode 109 of the Chasing Kangaroos podcast.
National Rugby League fans.
G'day, mate.
Good evening, Big Tobias.
That's a good one.
I like that.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm feeling better. I'm like deep in chocolate, like so much. If I see another fucking Cadbury bunny, I'll probably eat its ears. But like, God, I'm dying.
Yeah, right. Is that normal for you? Do you love smashing a bit of chocolatos?
I do. If it's sitting there unwrapped, if it's sitting there wrapped, I can look at it and be okay with it. But as soon as like someone sort of picks at the wrapping and grabs a little bit of the ear, then it's on for young and old.
Yeah, there you go. It's my learning about Uncle every day.
It's my kryptonite.
Mm.
How was your Easter?
Well, I avoided a lot of chocolate, and I'm not sure why, but it was good. We had like a Christmas lunch on Sunday. Like it was just one of those ones where you need to go have a nap afterwards. It was excellent. So luckily Little slept so that I could also sleep on the couch. So it was good. I really enjoyed that. And then when I woke up, the football started. So big wins.
Happy Easter. How good's that?
And what a game.
Would have been was it my game? Was it us?
It was your game. And it was. Yeah, yeah. And the I don't know why they let that sniper into the NRL and then why they let him keep shooting at Newcastle players, but they did. And so now they've lost half their squad. Anyway.
We killed him. We bashed him. It's a good. Our forwards haven't bashed another pack for a long, long time. So I'm okay with it. I'm happy with it. Good times.
And Tarek Sims.
How good is he? He's been he needed that because he's had a quiet season and a bit. And like that's who he is. Like he's a weapon, and he showed it. So I think I don't know what's going on. Obviously, the coach is doing a good job.
Because, yeah, really is.
Pretty much the same squad as last year, minus Frizzell, and a couple of additions as well. McCulloch's been good, but who's not getting the praise that he should from a coaching perspective, and it's Jamie Soward, because he's been working like with our halves and kicking, and like he's obviously like there's a reason Zach Lomax is like just kicking him from all over the place this year. So I think he should be getting some more credit. But yeah, anyway, I'm sure that'll
second
come.
Second most conversion kicks continuous in a row.
In a row, isn't it? What's he up to? Or actually, he missed one, didn't he? But I think
allegedly it was an absolute fucking hack of a call. It looked like it went in.
Yeah, I thought it went in. That's why I was like, hold on, it's 22. But I think Hazem has the record at 35, El Masri.
thought it was 25.
No, it's like it's 35. Yeah, because Hazem, I heard him on a podcast. It might have been with Denham Kemp. He said, it's a good app. It is Denham. It was Bloke in a Bar. And he said, he goes, the record was like 31. He got to 30, then missed. And then straight after that, he got 30 to 35. Like he got the run to 35. So he got like 65 out of 66. Yeah.
That's fucking bullshit.
Man, it's incredible.
Imagine doubling the record. Essentially, you doubled the record. Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's unreal.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah,
he was a freak.
Yeah, too good, man. Too good. Have we started recording? What do you reckon? Yeah. Or should we just get it? Should we restart or should we just use this?
I was recording, so whatever you want to do, I'm happy.
Let's keep it rolling because people, like, just peek behind the curtain for the listeners. Like, this is just how Big T and I, when we talk to each other, it's just like we're recording a podcast just in general conversation.
Or our podcast is at such a low standard, it's just like any idiot's
or something calls. Like that. Yeah, just some idiots sitting around. But yeah, the NRL has been great. I know we don't talk much NRL, but we can because my Dragons have gone 3 in a row, so I'm pretty happy. Like it's been a good couple of weeks. I know we had some the score lines were a bit crazy and what I said, like, as a Dragons fan, I am happy. I don't think we'll be winning the grand final, but I feel like we're at the very top of the second division, as I call it. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
And but there's definitely a gap between the top six and the rest. But how do you feel about it? Because there's a lot of conversation, big man, about, is it the rules? Is there an issue with the salary cap? Like, how do you feel about the big gap that seems to have appeared and, you know, is the game too fast? Like, what's going on?
I think we went through a golden period in 2015, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Maybe 18, where we had the closest competition in the world. I know I went to a Tom Brock lecture where Dennis Caravan. I want to say Dennis Carnahan, and I know that's the guy from Rugby League and Musical, so it's definitely not that. But Carnavan or Caravan. The fact that I'm even getting any kind of name out is pretty impressive for me. But he was pretty high up in the NRL. He was there that night giving part of the speech, and he laid out this incredible thing about how everyone in the NRL over the last, I think it was 10 years at the time, had made the finals, and that no other competition in the world was as close as ours. And so we were fantastic. And he put that to a lot of different reasons. I would put it down to, it was probably a lot of what he said, but also we were just really lucky that we had a lot of great teams and that the Titans and anyone who's been bad over the 10 years did have a good year or two where they did squeak in. The Tigers now have had the longest run with not being in the finals, but I just think it was a purple patch and that this was normal rugby league. This is actually what rugby league is. There are better teams, there are better players, there are better coaches. If you look at the early noughties, late 90s, even the teens, 05, like Souths were terrible in 05, 06. They were like really, really bad. And so it really wasn't that long ago. It's just we have a recency bias. Over the last 5 years, the NRL has been insanely close and you'd win one game and you jump from you jump from 12th to 4th. But that wasn't sustainable. And unfortunately, during that period where we had a really close competition, the Roosters of Melbourne just kept winning it regardless of the fact that everything was really close. So now I think we might go through a period where the top four will interchange grand finals for the next few years. And then everything gets changed again. I think it's chasing rules, chasing salary cap things might be helpful for small periods of time or for extremely long periods of time. But I think anything trying to fix this season or the next season, none of that gets done by, you know, I read people talking about a draft that people were talking about because they were worried the front offices were no good. But all of that, you have a draft system. It means the incompetent front offices get even further behind because, you know, they're then going to mismanage a draft. So it is what it is at the moment. And eventually everything in all sports is a tide and eventually great administrators will move or, you know, change to another team and everything. Great players move and change to different teams. You know, it's great. You look through who won the last grand final over the last few years and you'll see Melbourne and Roosters a lot, but you'll also see Canberra, Manly.
Cowboys.
Sharks. We had that run, South. All of these different teams won it over and over again from 2010 to 2020, we had so many different teams win it, so that'll happen again.
It's weird. We've become obsessed with like the evenness, but like not you're right, not many other competitions around the world are like that. You could point at so many different things like salary cap, and you know, I don't think the salary cap is as effective as it used to be. Like there's obviously, you know, there are clubs that players want to play for and will take less money to play for and develop at and be around, you know, so that's immediately the salary cap doesn't work because of that. And there's probably other factors at play as well. You know, we had two competitions worth of Intrust Super Cup and Canterbury Cup, New South Wales Cup players who didn't play last year. And all these guys are coming through the grade now to NRL. And, you know, of course it's going to be a little bit odd and different, but you know, it's just hard, you know, and it's a weird one, but for me, like, and look, our listeners probably are hearing this sort of banter on every rugby league podcast they're listening to at the moment, and we pride ourselves on being a little bit different. But in terms of chasing kangaroos and why this conversation is relevant is because of the expansion debate. And you know, we've just had news that like Brisbane 2 and then possibly like New Zealand 2 off the back of that is ready to go. And then all of a sudden we've had a weekend like we've just had, and all the commentators and all the journalists and all the discussion is about, well, can we expand? Do we actually have the players? And of course, like for me, like we talk about it all the time, T, there's so much untapped potential out there that we're not, there are so many rocks that we should be looking under to find new talent, but for some reason we don't. And instead we just say things like, oh, you know, the competition's uneven, so we shouldn't be expanding. And it pisses me off, to be honest with you.
Oh, for sure. And also these rule chairs and stuff have been taken up by Super League and stuff. And so anything that we do here that's successful or unsuccessful eventually ripples out into all other different parts of football. So
yeah,
it's an important conversation to have and to tweak so that we can get the product right.
Mate, I also think like let it run. Like let players, like if the rule changes are stuffing teams around, like give them a chance to catch up and get fit and train for the new style and let the coaches adjust. Like we need to adjust. And I think, you know, in a few years time, if this keeps going the way it is, I think you'll find players are fitter. They can make 100 tackles in a row. Like, you know what I mean? Like it'll just be different. And, you know, I think some teams are just adjusting to things better than others. But anyway, we could probably talk about it all night, mate. Plenty to talk about tonight, actually, other than NRL, which is, you know, what we're really here for. Firstly, you've got a great interview with Steve Jones, from the Welsh Wheelchair Rugby League. Looking forward to it, mate. What was your big takeaway from your chat with Steve?
Well, I knew nothing about wheelchair rugby league. That was a major thing. And so I learned a lot about it. The main thing that I really took away from it, which I'd never thought, because I'm, you know, stupid that like that sometimes, is that able-bodied people can do it.
Yeah.
And it made so much sense to me. You'll hear Steve talk about how it's such a great sport in that it actually means that everyone can play.
Yeah.
If you're unable to play standing rugby league, then everyone can sit and play wheelchair rugby league. And so the moment he said that, it blew my mind, and it made me just realize how fantastic this sport is and how fantastic it is that we have people like Steve devoting, you know, this part of their life to making sure that it works, not just for people who need it in their life, but also to make it a real
inclusive,
a real sport, and even more like anyone who then this is their best option. He's giving them an incredibly proud and strong way of representing their country. And so instead of just this would be good for your fitness or mental health, no, this is actually a real pathway for you to represent your country and to feel proud about what you do and to be the best in your sport. And so, yeah, just so exciting, so motivating listening to him talk about it. And they're coming towards a World Cup year, so they're just also so G'd, as they should be. Yeah, so great.
Looking forward to the chat, man. And because Wales, they're the Welsh Dragons, I've decided to call this episode the Dragons of Welsh Wheelchair Rugby, the Dragons of Wheelchair Rugby League, just to go on with your tie. You know, we've got a bit of a Tigers of Rugby League, Dragons of Rugby League thing going on, so I'm going to keep that rolling with this title. Mate, great chat. Plenty going on around the world, so let's do some golden points.
Hold on. You've got to say
what?
Because we are very late into this. You need to do what is up at one stage.
No, I've done the what is up. I've already done what is up. I did it before I called you. I can do it again for you if you like. Oh,
thank God. No. I'm just glad that it happened. I was worried. Some people would be switching off going, this isn't the real card. This
said,
isn't the real
as episode.
As you
said, what is up? I want to hear Big T do the what is up one day.
One day.
Or I make golden points. And I'm loving like some massive golden points this week. Everyone knows we're going to talk a little bit of North American Rugby League. Let's save that till the last golden point. We won't do too many. Sorry, don't worry, guys. It's coming. Let's talk about, let me start. You want me to start this week? I think you started last time.
Go for it.
Yeah, all right, sweet. All right, golden point, Turkey. And love this. Love this one. Turkey will take on the Australian Defence Force in a special curtain raiser, the Gallipoli Cup. Curtain raiser for the Dragons v Roosters Anzac Day clash this year. And I reckon it's going to be awesome. Yeah, can't wait. Going to be crazy.
That feels like such a, in the moment it's now been said, this seems like such a sensible and obvious fit. Is this the first time it's ever happened? Or is this just the first time I'm hearing it?
No, first time ever, to my knowledge.
Oh.
And like it should have been happening for the last 100 years.
Like, yeah, insane. This is fantastic.
I think the goal, like obviously, you know, these are going to be heritage Turkish players. I don't think we'll see the likes of Emre Gula there, Canberra Raider, but we'll see others. And it will just mean so much on that day. And hopefully the goal is to eventually take it to Turkey and get the domestic guys involved. I know they're right behind it because they work closely with the heritage guys in Oz. But wouldn't it be cool to see like Australian Defence Force versus Turkey in Turkey in the future on Anzac Day? It would be incredible.
That's the exact kind of stuff that I love about rugby league. Like that it can make this kind of stuff happen.
How good is it?
Because this is, yeah, it's just, I'd never thought of that. And now that I see it, as I said, it's such a great fit. And to do it before that game, the Dragons and Roosters have been having that game for, you know, 10, 20 years or however long it's been now, 15 years. But I don't really know why. It just, that's kind of like how we have Easter Monday with Eels. I don't know how we got it, but we've got it. And I now also see it as a fixture, and I always look forward to that game. But to have something that's actually, well, meaningful is probably the wrong word, but to have something that's quite closely connected to what's actually happening that day just feels super important.
It makes a lot of sense, man. It makes a lot of sense. Yes. And I sort of boycott rugby league games at the Sydney Cricket Ground because it's just hard to watch. It's just not a great stadium to watch football from. But I think I might have to go along, watch my Dragons get beat by the Roosters, but check out Turkey versus the ADF beforehand. Should
now,
be great.
Who would you go for in that, Carbs? Turkey or ADF?
Yeah, I got it. You got to go for Turkey. It's like
sandwich bet. Sandwich bet on this, please. I've never seen either team play, but I've got Australian Defence Force for sure.
Well, mate, speaking of sandwich bets, lucky we didn't make this one.
Oh, this was hectic. You are the worst. I'm assuming you're talking about the bet that we were trying to work out what huge goal you were going to get when this happened. But of course, you somehow cursed the Silktails. The Windsor Wolves have grabbed their first win of the season by holding on to a 30-26 win over a spirited but, you know, unable to get it done Cavite Silktails in a thrilling NRL Ron Massey Cup. That was over the weekend. It must have been on Friday. They've gone 0-2. And I think the first one was quite big, wasn't it? What was the first score?
First loss was big. I off the top of my head, I don't know. It was big.
I can't remember either.
But it was close. They nearly scored on the bell. But I think the Silktails will get better. But well, actually, what I think doesn't matter because obviously I'm way off. I thought they'd go undefeated, and since I've said that, haven't won a game. But glad we didn't put a sandwich bet on it. But I'll still buy you a sandwich anyway. We'll still do it.
Thanks, mate.
Mate, Golden Point, Brazil. One of my favourites, and of course, Brazil proudly sponsored by ChasingRoos.com. And after an impressive early season 60-0 victory over Uruguay, the Brazil Rugby League have announced 3 more international matches for their men's team this year.
This was so exciting.
Pretty cool.
When I saw this, so exciting.
So good to see. And there's some different games there that you wouldn't expect to see. Because like usually the South American teams play each other and they get like, because they got very close ties. Brazil will take on the Philippines on the 13th of June. Turkey,
can't wait for that one.
Turkey pops up again on the 2nd of October. And El Salvador will be October to be announced with the date. So great to see 3 matches for Brazil. Now, again, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. These are probably going to be staged in Australia, Queensland and New South Wales. It's been tough for the Brazilian domestic guys over in Brazil. It's hard for them to get out of country or plan or do anything like that and play internationals. But what's important for Brazil is working on their international rugby league rankings. I think they're ranked 41 in the world at the moment, and they want to climb. They want to grow, and they want to push for a World Cup for 2025 for the men. The women, of course, are already there. But they want to keep growing. And in order to do that, you got to play games. Are you hearing me, Australian Kangaroos? You got to play games. So the Brazilians are doing that. And it's the Aussie Brazilians that are carrying the load at the moment because of COVID. Also important to point out, I will say that most of the squad, the Aussie-based squad, were actually born in Brazil anyway. So that's actually really unique and really cool. So looking forward to finding out where these games are. And yeah, we'll try and be there like we were with the Uruguay game.
Yeah, that Philippines game, I really want to get to. I'm a big Filipino fan, so I can't wait to go and see those guys. Also, I vaguely remember the lock for Brazil. My God, I can't remember his name. Far out, he was great. So I also really just want to go and see him play football again. He was fantastic. Great to see Turkey jumping up twice. So you think that'll be the same team that's playing the Australian Defence Force and losing to give me a sandwich is probably the same team playing against Brazil?
Yeah, it'll probably be the same squad.
Yeah, great. That's so exciting. And do you think, I know you said we're not too sure New South Wales, Queensland, but do you think either of them will be back at that, like it's a good chance that they'll be back at that ground we were at the other day at Liverpool? Because that was a great little stadium.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. They've got a good relationship with a lot of the Latino nations. They've had Latino Nines there as well. Anyway. We'll figure it out when it gets close to the date. But yeah, potentially, mate.
We've been talking for a long time without talking about the Tigers. So I just want to also point out that the West Tigers women's train out of that Liverpool stadium.
Yep.
And I love that little stadium because it's got those iconic apartments in the background. So there really is easy to identify now. Speaking about being out west, New South Wales Western Corridor. So the New South Wales Rugby League is pretty sure that they'll get a Western New South Wales up with a successful generations to come after today's announcing an exciting new Western Conference system for 2022. And so that's got, I think that's that whole group thing, group 10, group 11, all those groups that are out there. I've never fully understood group 6, group 25. Whenever you talk to anyone from country rugby league, they know exactly what
they're talking about. They know exactly where they are, what group they're
in. And I love that about them. I love it so much. And so there seems to be something happening out there which is exciting. It's great to see New South Wales Rugby League has just been so active over the last 3 years or so, really trying to do a lot of different things in a lot of different parts of New South Wales to generate more rugby league and more rugby league fans, more rugby league players, and I think it's been a success so far.
Yeah, well, and look, now that they've merged with the CRL Country Rugby League, they need to be pushing it, and we want to win the hearts and minds of Country New South Wales again, because some of the best players we've ever seen have come from some of these places. So
true.
Good to see. And yeah, hopefully it goes well, man. And hopefully you get to go out and call some games, mate, with your role at New South Wales Rugby League as well.
That's right. Thanks. The other great thing, Carbs, about Group 10, Group 11 is that Group 10 has a Dragons team and no Tigers team. So they, over there, they've got the Mudgee Dragons in Group 10. But in Group 11, no Dragons, but they do have the Nigan Tigers. So I'm glad to hear New South Wales Rugby League working so well with those country rugby league teams and that the Tigers and Dragons go well this year.
Sounds great, mate. Mudgee Dragons, my favourite country rugby league team. And apart from the Gerringong, is it Gerringong Tigers? But yeah, Mudgee Dragons, and big shout out if you're in Mudgee. And this is not a paid advertisement, but yeah, Robert Steen Winery, good friends of mine, and the wonderful Pipe Clay Pump House restaurant. Fantastic. Not a paid sponsorship, guys. Golden Point. Let's go back to France after last week's episode.
Speaking of games that I want to call, let's go back to France. Yes.
Let's definitely go back to France. Actually, speaking of places we want to be.
Yeah.
2025, we asked the question of Luc Lacoste. So I asked the question last week, could he see France hosting a World Cup soon? I threw the year 2029 out there. He said he played the Joker card. I'll play my Joker card. He knew what was going on, mate. And Tony Grant, chair of the International Rugby League, last week has announced that efforts have begun to take the 2025 Rugby League World Cup tournament back to where it began in 1954. He said that returning the World Cup to France was a targeted and strategic priority. Luc Lacoste is happy to help, of course, and I think the rugby league community would really get behind this, especially the Kangaroo Chasers.
And it's two biggest fans on the phone because we're two of the biggest kangaroo chasers there is. And this is, well, I mean, we were both so excited that you were even getting that phone call after you spoke to the New Zealand bloke and now the France bloke. Like it's just yet again showing that this podcast is doing great work and with you at the helm, Carbonara. And to also then see just the thing that you and I were doing World Cup episode not long ago, I was talking to Andrew RLP. And he was giving us that inside scoop about what France was doing and how the Second World War had, you know, stitched them up with rugby union and the Nazis and all this weirdness happening around France. And I think Andrew in that episode had said that he really wanted to see France come up again. That's the big thing that he'd always wanted. And now, a year later, a bit over a year later, here we are hearing that France is on a real surge and the World Cup's probably going to happen there. It's just so exciting, man.
And if any of our new listeners do want to listen to your chat with Andrew RLP, it was episode 60. It's called World Cup 1954, and it's probably one of our first. We always talk about the future and where the game is going. That's one of the first times, and I loved it, and we should probably do it again soon, but we took a look back at that first World Cup in 1954, episode 60. So if you're new to the show or if you just want to listen to it again, go check that out. Mate, well, there's one more golden point that we need to get to.
Yeah, now, there is. I just want to quickly talk about Matt Haynes Sport because I've just recently started watching the Women's Rugby League in New South Wales. Yeah. And there was an incredible night of ecstasy that I had last night. After the West Tigers put up a valiant effort against the Eels, I came home, watched New South Wales Rugby League TV and saw the Helensburgh Tigers playing the MacArthur West Tigers. Now, fantastic job and fantastic football, but both of them playing in Tigers garb was mildly challenging to see. But whoever's helping them in Helensburgh, they must have someone like Matt Haynes because their jersey was fantastic and easy to differentiate enough. Still looked like Tigers, but didn't look like the MacArthur West Tigers. So anyone in and around that area who's, because it's a new team, Helensburgh Tigers completely new. They haven't ever played before. Helensburgh Tigers is a club, had men's, but this is the first time it's had a women's one. So anyone else around that part of the world in that Illawarra district or any part of Australia or any part of the world that wants to do what Helensburgh did, got some great gear. They should also get around someone like Matt Haynes at matthaynesport.com, matthaynesport.com.au. No, I think it's just, I'm just so used to hearing the other one where we had to say both those things. So just Google Matt Haynes Sport.
Matt Haynes Sport. Tell him you're a kangaroo chaser. Get 10% off your kit design. And speaking of Matt Haynes, and this is probably a good segue, he and I have sat down and written some notes. We're going to write a blog article for the new ChasingRoos.com website and also get some social media posts. So make sure you're following at Chasing Roos on Instagram, Facebook, and at Chasing Roos Pod on Twitter. And we've scored and given some advice for all of the North American Rugby League clubs for their brand, for their branding. So all of them, find out who our favorites are and follow along because it was a little bit of fun and hopefully we don't offend anyone. But check that out on the social soon. Myself and Matt Haynesport.
I saw Cleveland getting a lot of love. A lot of Australians were loving that Qatar shape and the pick and the whole thing and the skull. Cleveland getting a lot of love. So let's do that now, Cubs. The time is now. The North American League will have a 14-team competition. 14? Like it's just... Anyway. And round one will kick off in June 19. I should get through the whole point before I start getting excited about it. It's going to kick off June 19 in Brooklyn. I mean, that sounds so cool. And then the next game's in Vegas in June 20. Like, I mean, if anyone else isn't getting super excited with this, you're crazy. I think there's like everything in America, there's going to be two conferences. There's an East one and a West one. The East has got Atlanta, Boston, Brooklyn, Cleveland, New York, and Washington. I can't believe I'm reading these cities out. And the Western Conference is Austin, one of my favorite cities in the entire world. Los Angeles, Phoenix, Portland, San Diego, and San Francisco. I just think this is where I'm getting super excited. So are you hearing we're playing in Brooklyn, we're playing in Las Vegas, and we're, you know, Cleveland, New York, Atlanta, Austin. These are legit, like, insane cities, and they're going to be playing rugby league. Some of them already play rugby league, but they're playing in a 14-team competition. We have 16 teams. You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge amount. If it was 10 or 8, I'd be like, yeah, great, that's a good number. Anything less than that, it looks emerging and people are working really hard on the ground. And when they have comps of 3 or 4 or 6, you're like, okay, I can see people working really hard and they're getting stuff sorted. But when you're in 14, like, that's it. I can't imagine. They might expand, but they, if they run 14 for the next 10, 15 years, this competition has been a huge success.
Definitely. I can see some expansion because there's, you mentioned the East and West Conference. There's also the Canada Cup, which is Toronto and Ottawa. They'll play each other this year, but they're set to take part in the Eastern Conference in 2022. So there's going to be 8 in the East and then 6 in the West. So I reckon there's room for, like, if I was to guess, let's say there's room for a Los Angeles and maybe a Vancouver or something like that.
Oh, my God, of course Los Angeles. Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd say there's room for some expansion there. I think they're just going to, you know, I'm sure there's plans in place. I'll see how they go. But it was obviously the biggest news. It came out on April 1st Australian time, and a lot of people were saying, yeah, okay. Whatever. I think you're one of them, Big T. But
it's just so huge. I was like, this can't be happening.
But it was March 31 in the States where the competition, the North American Rugby League, was unveiled and sent some shockwaves through the developing rugby league world, I think.
Yeah, I'm so G'd. And I love Toronto, and so I'll be all about the Toronto Wolfpack, but I just looking at that, like, Austin's going to be such a great, like, I just love Austin as a city. Reading those out without them seeing as teams, I just really love a lot of those cities. And so I can just feel my heart's going to get pulled all over the place, that whole competition, which is going to be great for me because it means half the time I won't be able to lose. But as we also know about being great fans, Carbs, is that you can just sit down and watch a game and your team doesn't have to be in it. You just find out which one you want to win by how hard you ride someone who makes a break. So
yeah, exactly.
I just can't wait to see this competition start.
Yeah, exactly, mate. I'm with you. Like, I don't know who to say. I mean, you said you're a Toronto fan, right? But so I'm a Toronto fan, but like in the USARL, supporting Brooklyn, you know, and of course, like, so like, who do I support now? Like, it's tough. So, but I don't know. I'm just going to let it happen. And, you know, maybe there'll be an expansion Dragons team one day that I can get behind.
That's right. Yeah.
Mate, we're going to have one of the people behind the competition on the show, hopefully next week. And what we'll do is, again, follow us on the socials at Chasing Roos, and we'll give you guys an opportunity to ask any questions you like, throw them at us. And I'll ask as many questions as I can on that episode. So we'll do that. It's kind of what we do now. Everyone expects that of us, similar to what we did with the Triple CRL a couple of weeks ago, what we've did with other competitions and things like this in the past. So opportunities will be there. We're also going to try and get some other episodes happening as well. So I reached out, had a chat with the guys from the Ottawa Aces today. We'll get someone on from the Aces soon to talk about them, because that's an interesting one. Will the Aces continue on their RFL path and try and get to Super League, or will they scrap that now that this is happening? My mail is that they're going to try and do both. I have read that they're going to stick to the US and Canada now, but my mail is that they'll do both. So we'll ask them directly, and we'll get a few episodes around this in the next few weeks, because I think there's plenty of questions. I'm sure you've got a few questions, Big D, in your mind as well, and you know, there's plenty that we'd like to see answered.
Do you want to hear them now?
Yeah, well, I might try and answer some of your questions if you want. If I can, because I've got my ear to the ground.
How's this going to work with the Triple CRL? So I know you just said then that Ottawa's trying to, you know, not play itself in the Super League now, but can the Triple CRL be a league and still be a competition and work in Canada and Toronto and Ottawa not be in it? Does the Triple CRL now try and work with this new American league? What's the deal there?
Oh, I think they'll be separate. Like, I haven't spoken to the Triple CRL about their thoughts, and I probably should, about their thoughts on this new competition. I knew that both of these, so I kind of heard about both of the competitions in December, January, for the first time. I sort of knew they're both happening, but I don't know if they knew about each other at the time. It's kind of a surprise when the Triple CRL announced themselves, the NARL guys were sort of going, oh, where'd this come from? And then when the NARL announced themselves, the Triple CRL guys were saying, oh, where'd these come from? So it's interesting to see. I think competition's not a bad thing. They're both sort of different. They've got very different models, very different strategies. I think they'll just both go about their business. I think Triple CRL will go about their own business. Toronto Wolfpack and Ottawa Aces were not really, or had nothing to do with that anyway. It's just more rugby league in North America. And it's, I think it's exciting.
And because they're playing essentially the same sport, they might have some kind of Super Bowl thing at the end of it where they play each other. Or
who knows what will happen. I don't know if that's in the plans or in discussions or, you know, I don't know. Like I said, their strategies are different and their models are different. So I think we just see how that plays out. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot going on around. So the big talk about this has been like where's it come from and who's actually involved and who's behind it. And I know there's obviously people that understand the rugby league landscape over there will know about the USARL, the North and South Conference, and the Northern Conference is pretty much obliterated with this because I think a lot of the clubs in that East Conference. So if you're looking at Boston, Brooklyn, Washington, Atlanta is the old Nova. Atlanta's from the South. So here's the thing, right? So there's most of the any controversy that you would have heard about this Big T has come from the USARL or from guys not knowing about that because I've heard, like, for example, that the Brooklyn Kings, they came out, they made a statement saying they will defend their championship title because they're the recent champions of the USARL. They'll defend their title in the NARL. So I don't think they'd be taking part in the USARL, and most of those northern clubs will do that. I think Atlanta have come out and said that they would like to play in both the USARL and the NARL. So look, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. The USARL haven't came out and made an official statement. I have heard behind the scenes that they're sort of just waiting to see. They're letting it play out and they kind of don't believe it until they see it, I think, is sort of what's going on there. The bit that surprised me the most is some of the clubs in the Western Conference. So your Austin, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Portland, San Diego, San Francisco.
Las Vegas.
It's interesting. And so like I started hearing about this competition, as I said, probably December, January. And the Eastern Conference, when I heard about it first, the Eastern Conference looked pretty much exactly as it did when it was announced. So not a lot changed. There was probably one club in there that was different to when I first heard about this. But the Western Conference surprised me because I didn't know anything about it. I knew there was a Western Conference. I didn't know who the clubs were. And I believe that the California Rugby League was sort of in discussions to provide some of those clubs, our friends at the California Rugby League. That sort of stopped for whatever reason, and I'm sure we'll find out more about that in the future. And that's the other thing. So we've got this whole landscape of rugby league in North America now. We've got the North American Rugby League, we've got the Triple CRL, we've got the USARL, mostly in that Southern Conference now. We've got the California Rugby League. We've got the guys in Oregon doing things, the guys in Chicago, the Stockyarders still doing things.
Yeah.
We've got the BC Rugby League, so the British Columbia Rugby League in Canada, who, you know, they said they didn't know anything about this either. You know, and you know, they would be great to sort of probably host the Vancouver side in this competition in future, but they didn't know anything about it either. And they're the strongest competition in Canada at the moment. You know, you've got Alberta, you've got, you know, there's so much going on. So I guess the thing, what I'll say is I'm very supportive of rugby league in North America, very supportive of all of these organizations and conferences. Really hope that the North American Rugby League, I think they're going to do some great things. I think it's really exciting. I can't wait to speak to them and get some of our questions answered because there's still quite a few questions there. And for me, like, I want to know where these Western Conference clubs came from. I'd also like to know, like, who owns the Wolfpack now? What is the situation there? There's a lot going on. And sorry, Big T, you can tell I'm excited because I haven't stopped talking for the last 6 minutes about it. Sorry about that. But we promise, I know a lot of kangaroo chasers probably wanted tonight's episode to be all about this. So we want to give them as much information as we can. We'll let you guys know that big episode with the Q&A, it's coming. And look out for it soon.
The biggest question I would obviously have to any of those clubs or administrators is, where is there a Tigers team and can I please have a Tigers team?
See, that's the thing. I'm not disappointed. Like, it's awesome. But so Ryan Burrows' team, the Washington DC Cavalry, I would have loved for that to be like the Dragons because they've got the old Washington side was the Slayers and they used to wear the red V, the Dragon Slayers. So that would have been cool. But anyway, it is what it is. Rob, Ryan. Sorry, mate, but love what you're doing, man.
I just think Las Vegas Blackjacks. I feel like that's a touch on the nose, and so Las Vegas would be my first people to think Las Vegas Tigers could work. There's a lot of crazy tiger people, you know, who like keep tigers in their own houses. I can around see that. Area, so
like the white tigers or something.
Yeah, anyway.
Awkward, man.
Maybe next team.
Exciting times. But yeah, like I said, there'll be a few, you can expect a few episodes on the North American Rugby League coming soon. And of course, that competition as well is going to be streamed. And I haven't told you this yet, Big T. Oh, you do know that. It's going to be streamed by Sportsflix, who also currently stream Serbian Rugby League and Balkan Super League. And the part that I haven't told you is that the Sportsflix guys got in touch with me yesterday and they would like us to give away 5 subscriptions to our Kangaroo Chaser audience. So
I thought they were going to ask us to commentate, Tubbs.
They probably would ask you to commentate, Big T. You and Nate Gladden, I could see like a good little colour commentary team. I could see that
happening.
Holy
crap.
Because I do know
I would love to do that.
Well, I do know that Nate will be doing some commentary for this competition. And he and I are actually due to talk about it on his podcast soon. So look out for that if you want to hear more about it as well.
Someone woke up that bear because he's been hibernating for a while. They announced this and then on my socials, pretty much I saw you guys post about it. And the next thing was a video from Meg Gladden, like in his car somewhere driving through America, needed to talk about it. I was like, yes, we're back, baby. America's back.
Well, I think Nate has known that this has been coming and for quite some time. And he's just been recharging the batteries and he's back, baby. So it's good to hear Nate back. Can't wait, buddy. I know you're listening, mate. Can't wait to hear some more of you with your sexy American accent talking about rugby league in America. Cannot wait. Man, I think that's all I got. Our golden points are getting longer and longer. I think we're going to have to think about like separating, like having special golden point episodes of this podcast because it's probably one of my favorite parts of our podcast every week, and I love chatting to you, but maybe we need to find a sponsor for Golden Points, and then we'll have a bonus Golden Points episode every couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to do 2 episodes a week with you, Carl, so we could do a golden points episode and then a interview. Because the other thing is, the other side of that is we could just stop doing interviews, but there are so many things happening in the world of rugby league, so many voices that need to get recorded and spread that we definitely can't stop doing interviews. So, well, yeah, the only thing is 2 episodes split the episodes probably.
Let's think about that. But yeah, the interviews are important. Just like your chat with Steve Jones from the Welsh Wheelchair Rugby League. And I think you and I, as much as I love talking to you, the listeners are probably saying, let's get to that interview, boys. So Big T, I'm going to say goodbye to you until next week, my friend. And looking forward to the chat with Steve Jones.
Sitting patiently on the phone for me today is the head coach and trustee of North Wales Crusaders Wheelchair Rugby League and Wales Wheelchair Rugby League, Steve Jones. Welcome to Chasing Kangaroos, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Mason. How are you today?
I'm feeling good. Do you often find that wheelchair rugby league is a tongue twister for you, or have you got over that?
We've got over it now. When you actually see the full name of our charity, it gets even worse. So Wheelchair Rugby League's easy to say.
Say the whole thing for me then. I'd love the challenge.
Well, the actual name of our charity that runs the club is North Wales Crusaders Wheelchair Rugby League and Disability Sports Association.
Yes, well, that's the tongue thing.
So Wheelchair Rugby League's easy to say now.
Now, also, I heard, I think, briefly on the radio today that it's St. David's Day and they're the patron, yep. They're the patron saint of Wales. What does that mean anything to you or to Welsh people normally?
Oh, of course it does.
Tell me about it.
Patron saints. Proud to be Welsh.
Okay. Well, I don't know much about it, so it just means it was a Welsh person who was sainted?
Yep.
Okay, great.
He's the patron saint of Wales. He's next to God to us, for want of another word.
And do you think he would have been a wheelchair rugby league fan?
Well, he'd have been a rugby league fan, definitely, whatever version.
That's right.
Anyone in their right mind is, come on.
That's right. Now, how did you get into it then? What was the first thing that got you into rugby league?
Rugby league, well, I was brought up as a young rugby union mainly as a youngster because there just wasn't any league clubs around where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby league, I got into that quite late on, really. It was mainly through my son. Wanted to go and watch a Super League game in Wrexham when Crusaders first moved up here. Then wanted to take part in a scheme that they were running around the Wrexham area called Street Games, which is basically find a rough piece of ground, teach kids how to play rugby league. So I took him to that. Next thing you know, I'm one of the coaches and referees for that and never looked back.
Wow, that's amazing. How long ago was that?
That's going back to 2011, 2012 now.
Oh, my God. So in 8 years, you're now the head coach of the Crusaders Wheelchair Rugby League team.
Yeah, and the Welsh national team as well.
And the Welsh Wheelchair Rugby League team?
Yep.
Yeah, wow. And so tell me about that journey. How did you get from seeing your child play in the street to being a national coach?
Well, there was a gentleman involved in the rugby league in North Wales, Matt Pritchard. He asked me if I fancied helping out with the new team they were setting up for juniors, Wrexham Bradley Raiders. So went along. Somehow I ended up becoming the head coach and chairman of that club. Then 2013, they launched Wheelchair Rugby League with Crusaders, Wales Rugby League and Disability Sports Wales. So we were invited to go along. Just got hooked on the game. I was no longer able to play myself normal rugby, and neither was my son because of epilepsy. So we went along, started playing a bit, got asked if I fancied helping out with the coaching of it, and within a couple of years got made head coach. 2014, I applied for the assistant coach's job at Wales Rugby League for wheelchair. Got that, and in 2016, I became the head coach.
Wow. Does your son still play?
Yeah, he's one of our Super League players, and he's also a Welsh international as well.
Wow, that's incredible. And so you both made this journey together.
Yeah, and that is the beauty with the wheelchair version. Doesn't matter how old you are, if one of you's got a disability or not, we've got families that play together.
Wow. Like a lot, you mean like parents or brothers, sisters, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we've had fathers and sons. My grandson used to play for us. We've got another player. He's actually the eldest international in the world.
Wow.
And he plays with his grandson as well.
That's incredible.
Sometimes.
How old was he?
John, he's currently 68, I think.
Wow.
And he's the eldest international.
That's amazing. Because you guys have some other records that we'll get to later. So I just love that North Wales Crusaders and Wales Wheelchair Rugby League are just kicking so many goals and just ticking so many boxes. It's amazing. So in your role now as head coach, what are your day-to-day or what's your year looking like as a coach?
It usually starts literally a month before the season ends,
yep,
where we're starting to look at registrations and the upcoming season, booking the training venue, ensuring all our wheelchairs are getting maintenance. Usually about January, we look at joining the various leagues, working out who's going to play in what team and what kit we're going to need for the coming year.
Mm.
And in a normal year, the season will kick off for us training in February with season launch March, April.
Wow.
And then that takes us right through till normally September, October.
Oh, wow.
When we do our own end of season awards, and then it started 2 years ago, but it's been put on hold now.
Yeah,
because of the pandemic, the NFL do their end of season awards as well for wheelchair.
And so, which competition? We have people listening to this podcast from all corners of the globe. And so, what competition is the Crusaders, the North Wales Crusaders, playing in?
Right. Well, we play in our... The league structure is we have a Super League,
yeah,
and then we have two, maybe three this year, Championship Leagues, which go from development to those teams that are not quite up to Super League level, as well as two cup challenges throughout the year. And Crusaders, we have a team in Super League, which has been in that, the Super League now since 2014.
Wow.
And we also have two additional teams in the Championship Leagues. We are the only team in the UK and worldwide to have three competing teams in league fixtures.
Yeah, wow.
At the NHL level. And we also take part in both cup tournaments.
Wow. And are you coaching that Super League team?
Yeah, I'm the main coach for the whole club. During training, I'm the one for the Super League, but during match days, one of the assistant coaches takes over. Harry, who's actually my son, who's a level two coach as well, so he looks after the Super League on match days because occasionally I still have to play with the Championship team.
Oh, wow. If we're
low on numbers.
Wow. Your family is really ingrained into this club and has so many fingers in so many important pies. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I've got my daughter as well. She now acts as team manager for us.
Amazing. What are some of the best developments you've seen since getting involved in 2012?
It's just been the growth and the way that Wales Rugby League are now embracing our version of the sport,
right,
as well. Like North Wales Crusaders in 2013 was the only wheelchair team in Wales. Now you're talking there's four Welsh teams now, or four Welsh clubs, not teams, as well as the growth in it worldwide and through the rest of the UK. So it's just been the way people are taken to the sport, and it's just growing at a phenomenal rate.
And why is it? Can you tell me a bit about Wales Rugby League outside of wheelchair rugby league? What's the kind of history or that's happening there? Because I know it's a bit of a strong union country, hence you also having a childhood with it. Well, what's kind of its story in Wales?
Well, the first ever professional game for Wales in rugby league was against international was against New Zealand in 1908.
Oh, wow.
Can't quite remember the score. It was a little bit before my time, even though looking at me, you'd think it wasn't. But 2005, jumping up to recent days, Wales actually became their own governing body, the WRL. So even though we're still associated with the RFL, which is the governing body for the UK, we now have our own, we are our own governing body. So we make our own decisions and go from there. So it's all good stuff coming from Wales now. New CEO been in post about 12 months, Gareth Keir, really pushing the other versions of rugby league now, not just the men's running team. We've got women's, PDRL, which they've lined us up for this year's World Cup. LDRL, which is the learning disabilities version, that's getting a look at starting properly soon. And, of course, the big push with the wheelchair. So a lot of good stuff coming out the WRL at the moment.
And why do you think that is? Why has there been such a cultural shift? Is it just down to that CEO change, or is there a general cultural change in Wales, or...?
I think a lot of it is a general cultural change. People are realising now that, yeah, just because you got a disability doesn't mean you've only got basketball or murder ball available, which have only ever been the two main ones. But Gareth is such a passionate man about it. And as he likes to say, diversity is in the DNA of Wales Rugby League. And he has been a great driving force. He's given us all the tools we need to help create the sport and make it bigger in Wales.
Well, Steve, I'd love you to go in a bit of detail on there, because I also know that a lot of people who listen to this across our channels are also creating leagues in different ways, and some of them creating wheelchair ones. So can you be specific about what that CEO has done recently that's really helped you and the people around you to get that competition going well?
Well, one of the biggest things he's done for us this year alone, he has got the wheelchair team accepted by the Welsh government as an elite sport, as elite athletes, which that on its own is a massive step up.
Right.
He gets behind all the local clubs, and he is now trying to get them all to look at taking on women's wheelchairs, yep, and PDRL teams as part and parcel of the club's makeup. So it's not so much anymore with a standalone version of the sport. We are getting into grassroots level properly.
So he's quite active, you think, in encouraging clubs that already have a running men's team to take on other forms of the sport in the clubs that have already been started.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
It's a big passion of his to make sure that the future of rugby league in Wales is sustainable. And the best way to do that is not create standalone teams, work from your pre-existing clubs, help set up new clubs.
Yeah. Does North Wales Crusaders have a running team?
Yeah, North Wales Crusaders is one of the only two professional stroke semi-professional teams in Wales, the other one being West Wales Raiders. North Wales Crusaders also have junior teams. We've got a wheelchair team. If it hadn't been for the pandemic, we were going to be the first club in Wales setting up a PDRL team, physically disabled. That's still going to hopefully happen this year, just depending on when we get our return to playback. And there is talk of looking up women's teams in the future.
Yeah, wow. That's fantastic. And is there much of a... How is it going getting juniors there in all of those different facets? Is it a challenge to find kids to come and play?
It's the same with any sport, really. Right. You get them young enough and they're there. They're loving it. However, as soon as they start hitting their teenage years and finding girls and all sorts, you do tend to get that drop off.
Right.
Which we see that whatever version of whatever sport it is. But getting the kids there at a young enough age, like the club I used to run, our youngest age group was under fives.
Wow.
Well, you get them at under five, by the time they're 12, 13, the sport's ingrained in them.
Mm.
And you've got a much better chance of keeping hold of them and then going up into senior clubs. And the pathway is just superb for kids in Wales now.
Well, how does that work with wheelchair rugby league? Is it only an opens competition, or are there kids' versions? Is there an age restriction?
The age restriction is mainly looked at club at international level, and they say now it's a minimum age of 16 to play at international, which is understandable.
Yep.
Because kids under 16 are not always able to cope with the pressure of international level, or their bodies can't. But like our club now, our youngest player is five.
Wow.
Or it was five.
Yeah.
And our oldest was six, was John in his 60s.
Yeah, I love it.
So there's no set age group. But what we try to do is, well, in Crusaders, for instance, I will always look at the team we're playing against before I'll allow our juniors on, or depending how long our juniors will get to play each game. It's just purely to ensure that the child's out enjoying themselves, but they're not going to get pushed around by the bigger people in the wheelchairs, which can happen.
Yeah, okay.
Just purely because of size.
Yeah. Okay, now I'd love you to, this is a great time for you to shift and explain to anyone who is a rugby league fan listening to this, but who hasn't come into contact much with wheelchair version of the game. What are some of the major differences that you would notice straight away between the two different sports of the running game and the wheelchair game?
The biggest one you'll see is we sit it, we're wrapped around a lump of steel.
Yeah.
We sit down to play our version.
Yeah.
But the rules, if you look at both games, you will see straight away that ours is rugby league.
Right.
The only, we still have the six tackles, defensive lines. The only big difference is there's no scrums in wheelchair. It's controlled restarts. And kicking is done with a closed fist.
That's
and scoring, everything else is exactly the same.
Wow,
just big differences. You only have five players on the court.
And tackling's done through tags? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, tackling's done through a tag. You take the tag off the opponent's shoulder, and that's your first, second, third, fourth, fifth tackle.
And
kicking's done whenever you feel like. You can do drop goals. We take conversions. The only difference with the conversion, the tee is slightly taller, so it's level with the top of the wheel.
Yeah. And can you palm and things like that? Like if someone's going for your tag, can you lash out at their arm to stop them?
No, there's that's classed as an illegal tackle. You can try and avoid them.
Yeah.
But palming, no, it's not something we've done. But anything else tends to go.
Yeah, wow, okay. And how is it finding referees in that part of the world to referee that sport?
It's actually not too bad. We've got a good group of referees at the moment, headed by a gentleman called Steve Abel. And he's been great for the sport. Wales have now just appointed a head of wheelchair referees as well. So, and it's on the Our League app, you're now able to do your theory assessment for the game. And then once everything's back to normal, we'll look at putting more referees through their practical. So I think one of the ideas, especially with Wales now, is to have a minimum one or two referees per club so that we're growing the game ourselves. And I believe the RFL are hoping to do something similar as well.
Right. Okay, now I want you to put your Wales, your international coach hat back on.
Yeah.
What are you looking for when you're, I know you're a Crusaders coach, you're watching lots of different teams and the season that way, but what are you looking for as that international Wales coach in a wheelchair player to be selected for Wales? What are the key criteria you're trying to look for?
Passion.
Really?
Pride and passion in the game and in playing for Wales. If you want to use Wales as your second choice country, not interested.
Wow.
You need to have the pride to put on that red shirt and forget everything for the next 80 minutes apart from your teammates and the dragon.
And the dragon. I love that, of course.
The Welsh dragon.
Yeah, yeah. And so for the last 5 years, have you found that challenging to find or has been selecting teams been an easier thing for you to do?
Purely because of the demographic size, Wales, it has been a struggle. 2014, when myself and Lana took over, we literally had seven players going to our first tournament. We did a COVID-safe one training session last month. I had something like 17 players.
Wow.
We've got 29 on the books now trialling for Wales for this year's upcoming matches and tournaments.
So hold on, in 7 years, so it went from 7 to 20 to 29. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's grown exponentially. Whether it's because we're attracting more players now because the game itself's growing more in Wales, or people are now seeing the success the Welsh squad are having.
Yeah.
Like World Rankings came out the other year. We're now ranked third in the world.
Yeah.
And just so, behind Australia and England.
And so
France and England.
How does that make you feel about this upcoming World Cup as well? Tell me about that story.
Really looking forward to this. This will be my second one in charge. We can't wait. I've got a great feeling about the bunch we're going to be taking to this World Cup now. So just look out for us in the finals. That's our plan. We're not planning on anything else. There's none of this. Or if we get third, we'll be happy. No, I want the finals.
Yeah, okay. And so you're anticipating that you're going to come up against France or England in that one? Is that what you're thinking?
The group we're in, we've got Australia, us, Australia, Scotland, America. So it's going to be a tough group for us. But yeah, we're hoping to then get through to the semis and the finals, which will probably have France and England in at some time or other.
Yeah, okay. How did you end up qualifying for that?
Partially because of the world rankings.
Yep, yep.
Because we've got such a good win-loss record at the moment. And being a, currently we're a tier two, but we're hoping to become a tier one nation as well soon for wheelchair. So all that helps as well.
How do you go about making that happen?
We put our bid in to become a member of the 2021 World Cup. And the selection committee go through a criteria, how well the game's developing in Wales, its sustainability, and just things like that. And we came out quite well on it.
I bet. Okay, but tell me more about how do you go from being tier one to tier two?
It's to do with the International Federation, that's... We're not exactly sure how it's going to happen. I think it has stuff to do with your standings and everything like that. So it's a fingers crossed that one is, because I know Wales currently stand at a tier two across the board, but we're hoping that the wheelchair team will get into the tier one level, which puts us as like one of the best countries in the world, but standing at third, we're already there.
Mm.
I just want to get up in the standings now.
And so you said before that you're going to be against France, Scotland, and America. Have you played any of those teams recently?
Last time we played France was in 2017 in the World Cup.
Yep.
Unfortunately, everything got put on. The season never happened last year because of COVID.
Yep.
USA never played them before. They're a fairly new team coming in. This year we're looking at the Netherlands, another new team coming in. Scotland, we play them regular.
Yeah.
Because we have a Celtic Cup, which is Scotland, Ireland, and Wales, which Wales are four-time holders of that now. So we're doing well there. So
is that played yearly?
Yes, played yearly. Unfortunately, last year's was cancelled.
Yeah.
It was due to be hosted by Scotland in April, but that's now been moved to June. And for the first year ever, it's been fully sanctioned by the Rugby League International Federation on their calendar as well.
Now, do you think they're doing... Are you starting to get a bit of a feel, particularly with this World Cup and things like you've just mentioned them... Do you feel like the International Rugby League Board is really investing quite heavily into wheelchair rugby league over the last year or so?
It does seem to be going along them lines, yeah. They're really keen now to get all the competitions fully sanctioned and really making a big spectacle of it. Like, first time ever, the wheelchair has been classed as the main tournament in a World Cup. Going to be televised for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Normally, wheelchairs part and parcel of the festival. So it just shows there how well our game version of the game is coming along.
Yeah. And the respect and pride that the competition and the sport and the audience and fans are giving it. And so is that making everyone in the squad a bit nervous? Like playing international?
No, not at all.
Really?
Not at all. We've got a great grounded squad and been told, don't worry about anything going off outside the court, what the governing bodies are doing, the televised part. Don't worry about any of that. Just get on that court and play for yourself and your teammates.
That's incredible, because I know I keep reading all of these news articles and things about the upcoming World Cup, and I'm not playing in it in any way. I'm on the other side of the world and I'm getting excited and nervous every time I read about it. So to be part of it, that must be just an incredible feeling.
Oh, to be part of this one, especially with the addition of it being the main tournaments alongside the men's and women's, it's unbelievable, this one. I think this is going to be the best World Cup for wheelchair rugby league to date. I think it's the third one now, but it's going to make the other two look like nothing. Yeah, they were good tournaments, so don't get me wrong, and I'm not belittling them, but it's the fact that everyone in the countries, the towns we're playing out of, Sheffield, for instance, with Wales, they're getting really excited for us going there and getting behind us. So it's just been a great build-up so far. And yeah, it is difficult to get the players to concentrate on what's going on, but like I said, we've got a good grounded squad, so hopefully that'll go in our favour.
Now, excuse my terrible knowledge of UK geography, but is Sheffield close enough to Wales that there would be a lot of supporters that could go there and watch those games?
It's a couple of hours. Depends whereabouts in Wales, but from where I'm based, which is the north end of Wales, it's about a 2-3 hour drive, so it's not too bad. We know a lot of Welsh fans have already bought tickets. Hopefully they'll still be allowed to use them, with it being the potential COVID restrictions still. But we're hoping that we're going to get some great support there from Welsh and English fans.
Well, and Australian fans, mate. I'm now all in on Wales.
Oh, definitely Aussie fans. So I mean, first time we played against them, 2017, and we made some great friends in the squad.
Yeah, right.
They're a great bunch of lads and girls.
Well, obviously, I've got Australia running in the Group A, but in Group B, I'm now tied closely to your Red Dragon, so I can't wait to see you guys do well and hopefully find us in the final.
Oh, now that would be a final and a half there. Taking on the Wheelaroos, bit of revenge there for us.
Okay, and so what do you think can happen after that? So let's just say it is Australia-Wales final, and one of us wins by one. It's an incredible game. What could happen then for Wheelchair Rugby League in Wales or the UK? What do you think could happen if the tournament does live up to the hype and it's great?
I don't think it's just Wales or the UK. I think it's going to be worldwide, this tournament, purely because the amount of television it's going to get and the amount of publicity, it's just going to do the wheelchair version of the game so much good. More and more countries are going to be looking at it thinking, right, well, we've got so much of a disabled population.
Yes.
Why can't we give this go? Because, like I said, the beauty of the wheelchair version is it's fully inclusive. You don't have to be disabled to play it. Yes, you've got your 3-2 count for match days, but apart from that, age, sex, religion, colour, whatever,
it
doesn't matter.
Yeah, wow.
If you want to play it, jump in a chair and a local club to you will let you play.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to do great stuff for the game worldwide.
Oh, I completely agree with you, Steve. I love it. Now, if we can just for the last time put your North Wales Crusaders hat back on. You're such an influential and big person. There's so many different versions of Steve Jones I'm talking to. I'm loving it. What's planned for the future for North Wales Crusaders?
Well, as you know, we've got the three teams going in again this year. We're hoping to get the PDRL team, physically disabled, up and running this year. Our next big step will be the LDRL team, which is learning difficulties. We're just going to carry on with all our schools projects, where we take our chairs and a few of the players into local primary and secondary schools, and it helps not just introduce the game of rugby league to the school children, but also helps break down the barriers of disability as well.
Wow.
So that is a big part of what we want to do and what we're planning on carrying on doing.
That's fantastic.
And then just surely carry on growing the club like we have been.
So tell me more about that school thing. So how long have you been doing that for, or is that a future plan?
We've been doing it on and off now for about, well, literally since the club has been going.
Right.
But it's more so the last 3 to 4 years. Last year, we weren't able to do anything purely because we weren't allowed into the schools due to the pandemic. But the year before, we went into one of the biggest special needs schools in the North Wales. And I think we had over 100 children in the 24 hours we'd run it for.
Wow.
And it was great. The look on some of their faces, especially those that have the disabilities, and are probably thinking, oh, there's no, I'll never get to play rugby. And they thoroughly enjoyed it. And kids are still asking us to go back. Unfortunately, we're not allowed at the moment. But it's just one of them things. You see a kid's face when they realise, yeah, okay, my mate's in a wheelchair. God, I can play rugby with him.
Yeah.
It's, or her even, it's fantastic. And it's a really big buzz for us to do that. And the coaching team and a lot of our players are always asking, oh, when we're doing it next, will I'm free to come to that one? So we've had a big buy-in by the club in general, and schools are just waiting for us to get back out there and do it. It costs the schools nothing.
Yeah.
We supply all the equipment, the time, and I'm not sure if some of our players get more fun with it than the kids sometimes.
Yeah,
we even make the teachers get in the chairs and have a go.
That's great. And Steve, I'd never considered that you mentioned at the top, you know, being able to do it with your family, but I never also considered that people, able-bodied friends, wouldn't be able to play those sports with their other friends. And so here's an opportunity where everyone gets to be on the same team and the same sport with no boundaries or complications, and everyone plays together. I'd never considered that. That's a phenomenal part of the game, particularly for people in schools.
Well, that's it. It's the huge selling point as far as I'm concerned with that game. The fact that we are so fully inclusive.
Mm.
As long as you have the correct ratios on a match day, during training, it doesn't matter. And like I say, what other sport can you get two friends, one who's maybe got difficulties with their legs and one who's running around like a lunatic? What other sports can you put them both together on an equal playing field?
Yeah, in a team sport. Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. Yeah. That's fantastic. Okay, so how can people get involved? How can people support either the North Wales Crusaders Club or Welsh Rugby League or whatever you think needs support? How can people help?
Easiest way is just go onto our Facebook or our website, CrusadersDisabilitySportsClub.co.uk, and it's got all the contact details there. My contact is on. I'm always happy to talk to anyone who wants us to go in and help. We've given advice to other teams, to other countries. We're more than happy to talk to anyone who wants to either invest time, wants to come and play, or just wants more information about the sport in general.
And Steve, I love
you. Go on Wales Rugby League or the RFL's websites. There's plenty of information out there about the wheelchair teams in this country, and I'm sure it's the same with other countries. I know Australia at the moment, Queensland and all them are putting in big things with Wheelchair Rugby League.
I love that I asked you, Steve, how can people support and help you? And all you did was start telling itemizing how you can help somebody else. That's obviously the kind of person you are and why you and the people around you are being so successful, because instead of looking to see how you can get help, you're constantly looking to see how you can help others, mate. And that's a fantastic trait.
Yeah, but the way I look at it, though, for every person, every two people I help, one of them will come back and do something that will help us.
Mm.
It's just a knock-on effect. We give more help. I don't care. It grows the sport, and that's all I want to do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, thanks, Steve. This has been great, mate. That's all the questions and comments I have. Did you have anything else before we finish?
No, just thank you for giving us a chance to get our version of the sport out there to the wider community, especially to countries that may never have heard of it before.
And I'm with
really
you.
Really appreciate it.
Well, I'm all around Wales now in Group B of the World Cup. I'm super excited about that. And I can't wait to see how you go with the Celtic Cup in June or so. So please let me know. I'll try and follow it on Facebook. But if I if you haven't heard from me, tell me how it goes, because I'd love to give you some support there.
Yeah, we'll definitely be in touch, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Chasing Kangaroos is brought to you by Matt Haynes Sport. We are mixed and produced by Paul Murchison. Our theme music was written and recorded by Ash Barco and Ricky Cancino. The podcast is hosted by me, Michael Carboni, and the Biggest Tiger. Views are our own.